Yeah. Here we are again, another week beginning with Xander Sheridan. Always makes for a good week.
We're still on the air. Yes.
Do you know the people we stay with, Joe and Cheryl?
Yeah.
Fuller. You know, Joe knew Neil Armstrong. He graduated from Purdue.
He knows
Neil
Armstrong.
Yeah. Right.
He knew and knows.
He knows Neil Armstrong.
What is it, a perfect tense?
I don't know.
He knew and knows him continually.
Whatever you say.
Exactly.
He has pictures of him and Cheryl on the golf course with Neil and his wife signed to him. They were fraternity buddies at Purdue.
Yeah, the question is,
Where were you?
Does Neil Armstrong know who we are? That's the real question.
Well, he soon will.
Okay.
What were you doing during the moon landing?
What was I doing during the moon landing? Not listening to Led Zeppelin, that's for sure.
Well, how old were you when the moon landed?
I wasn't born yet. No.
You missed the 70s were awesome. The 70s was the best decade for music ever, I think.
Let me just say that. For those who think that, you've been smoking too much of your own product.
What do you got? What problem do you have with that?
70s the 70s
were
disco.
Awesome. Disco, what is wrong with Funky Town?
70s music stinks.
Who would not want to live in Funky Town?
Me, I wouldn't want to live in Funky Town.
You can take me down to Funky Town any day. The 70s produced Brick House.
Yeah.
Are you going to disparage
a Brick House?
That produced Brick House?
Isn't that where people, you know, use the bathroom at a...
No. No.
It's a Brick House.
You're too young to understand.
Too young.
You're too young to understand. Led Zeppelin is one of the awesomest groups of
the 70s. One of the worst ever.
What?
One of the worst ever.
I said Led Zeppelin.
One of the worst live bands.
How can
ever,
you say
too.
That?
They're terrible.
Led Zeppelin's terrible?
Horrible.
What about Whole Lotta Love? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's about, what, three chords in that song?
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, those guys knew how to play three chords,
yeah,
all right?
Genius.
We're going to go back to Elizabeth's letter. We keep promising to tie up loose ends, and we honestly try.
Well, if we wouldn't waste our time with the 70s music, see what the 70s have done? The
what?
70s have only prolonged and postponed the revelation of truth, like this program. 70s music has put, it's like Satan
yes.
has hindered
uh-huh.
the truth because of the music that you like.
With the 70s.
Yeah.
You use the 70s
so let's
to
get
do
to
that.
The truth now.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
Brother.
Duh.
I'm sorry for all you listeners.
Sorry.
But you have to put up with this.
I'm sorry, people. I apologize.
Yeah.
I sidetracked God.
Next time I will make sure I pick a better co-host for my show, so forgive me for my lack of discernment. All right, what are we doing now?
According to Paul, according to Elizabeth, this is Elizabeth. Remember Elizabeth, the letter we started 2 weeks ago? We're still. You know what's scary? We've been 2 weeks on one question.
I bet you Elizabeth and Deb from Anchorage are probably going to therapy classes because of being neglected by Xander Sheridan.
Our answers are so no. We are so they're just so in depth. Where do you get this kind of in-depth study? The mailbag came, brought us a whole pile of letters. We've been on the same letter for going on 3 weeks. The mailbag. Yeah, that's a pretty good imitation.
Okay.
Close.
All right, what are we doing?
All right, listen to this paragraph.
Okay, if I must.
From Elizabeth's letter.
All right, Lizzie.
According to Paul, that's not very nice.
What?
Lizzie.
All right, Elizabeth.
Oh, that's nice, Elizabeth. I'm sorry, maybe it was nice. Maybe she likes to be called Lizzie.
I have no idea. Go ahead.
According to Paul, salvation is not an offer.
Amen.
It's not a sale. It's a done deal.
Good.
That can't be undone by unbelief.
I like her already.
Faith makes the reality experiential. Oh, there's another one of those words. Ooh, I like that word. It's a $10 word, but we need to probably talk about it. Faith makes the reality experiential in one's life in the form of spiritual peace, not an escape from suffering, but a lack of faith doesn't change the reality one iota. The lack of faith does not change the reality one iota. My question to you, Dan Sheridan,
yes, sir.
What reality is she talking about that faith cannot change one iota?
I would imagine what she, and I can't read her mind, but I think, judging the tone of the letter, she means that our faith does not change the reality of what Christ accomplished. Whether we believe or we don't believe, Christ still did what he did, and what we do does not alter, add to, subtract from the accomplishments of Christ.
Let me run an analogy past
okay.
you. I don't know if we've ever
dealt
with
that. Was that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, that was a beautiful answer.
Okay.
I'm wiping away the tears.
All right.
The analogy we're often given, we might have talked about this before, I don't know, but we have new listeners, so we're going to talk about it again because it's important. The analogy that Christianity gives for the salvation deal is that God offers you a gift. They say salvation is a gift, but you have to accept it, just like a birthday present.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you a present, it's up to you to unwrap it and do this, or else you don't get it. But the proper analogy is that God, that's a wrong analogy, the one I just gave you.
Yeah.
The right analogy is that God has deposited $1 million in your bank account, and it is in your account. You are now wealthy, and your belief brings it to an experience, like Elizabeth, Liz, uses here, an experiential reality. You're rich, but you don't live as if rich because you don't know about it. It doesn't make it true because you're rich. It's in your account. You go to the bank. There's your name. There's the balance, $1 million. It's been that way for 50 years. Too bad nobody told you about it.
Right.
That's the right analogy. And when you believe it, we'll say, why didn't you tell me I had this money in here? I've been living like a poverty-stricken nobody.
Can I go a little contrary to that statement?
I'm gonna send you to Funky Town.
I'll have my bell bottoms ready. Let me just say this: from God's perspective, yes, it's already there. But it does say in the scriptures, if I may, you know, maybe we can debate this a little bit.
Go for it.
You and I, we both agree that we are, as believers in Christ, we are there. We have these wonderful riches because of what Christ accomplished, and God has given us the faith to believe it, and this was his determination long ago.
Right, long before the 70s.
However, and I am of the opinion, because I think in the scriptures are clear, that these things become true of us here and now when we believe. Because the scriptures talk about when we believe, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, they don't become good to us from our point of view until the day that God gives us the faith to believe these things. Because, you know, it's kind of easy, and this is what the, and I think this is probably what we talked about, Calvinism. They get so much into speculation and philosophy that they, you know, it leads away from the scriptures. I understand what she's getting at, but I think we need to be careful on how we try to explain every nuance and detail. We can explain God right out of his universe. The point is, yes, God has made his choice. We've been selected beforehand. We've been designated beforehand, according to Ephesians 1. That's before the overthrow or the disruption of the world, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. But it, you and I, when we were born, we weren't born justified. We were born as we were born in sin, right? And there came a day when God brought us the truth, and we believed it, and we were sealed in these things. We were declared righteous by God. I think this took place in time, even though God had his selection beforehand.
Okay, I got a question.
Sure.
On 2 Corinthians 5 talks about one died for the sake of all, consequently all died.
Yes, I've heard you talk about that.
And that happened at the cross. One died, consequently all died. And he who dies has been justified from sin, Romans 6, whatever. Right? So
yes.
I'm saying that I think that those who are designated beforehand, this is in their balance, this is in their account, but they don't come into it until they're given the news, like, hey, you are rich. And because if it was finished at the cross, then the only thing that remains is to come into a knowledge of it. Us coming into a knowledge of it doesn't make it true. I mean, so are you...
No, I'm not saying it makes it true. I'm saying, remember my language I used. You can't, you look at it from God's perspective.
From God's perspective. Okay, I think that's where we need to...
So that's all I'm saying. I don't want to debate 2 Corinthians 5 on this program, but getting back to the topic, yes, we're selected. We're designated beforehand. But the scriptures tell us that, like in Romans 3, we're justified gratuitously and so forth. Through faith, we're justified by faith, on the faith principle. And that there is a point in everyone's life where I believe that I don't believe anyone dies in unbelief today and is a member of the body of Christ.
If they're chosen beforehand, right.
If God chooses somebody, they will hear the message and they will believe it.
I believe that too.
Okay. And so in from our perspective, you know, before my conversion to Christ, in quotes, when I believed in Christ, I wasn't a justified man. I didn't have Ionian life, and
from your point of view,
exactly from my point.
But God
of view.
Knew all along.
As
of course, you were
he
a
did.
Baby
well, he
growing
didn't just
up.
No, he planned it. He chose it.
When you were a baby growing up through the '70s, hating Led Zeppelin, God knew that you had Ionian life at that time.
Well, I think he gave me Ionian life because I hated 70s music, and I think he saw some merit in me.
Oh, so you are saved by works.
Yeah, I'm the only one.
Okay, you're saved by works. But you can go along, what you're saying is, and I agree with you, you can go along most of your life not believing. You're an unbeliever, but God, looking from his Google Earth point of view, he knows that you're chosen beforehand. Gee, how does God know that? Well, because he's the one that chose you beforehand.
Because he's God.
Maybe because he's God. Maybe that's why he knows. But so he sees you going along on your little path on earth.
Yeah.
And your little baby in the 70s. Then you get into the 80s. And then he on the day, there's a designated day that you will get to that God gives you the faith to accord with his, with his designating you beforehand. Is that a fair
That's a good
explanation
point. I agree
of it?
With that. Yeah, you know, and by the way, I never had baby talk. When I came out of the womb, I said, hey, what you doing, man?
Oh, that's awesome.
That was pretty tough. By the way, I want to do something that I have not given to our new people.
Am I going
to be in Albuquerque, Lincoln, Nebraska,
Omaha,
Nebraska,
Pittsburgh,
and Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. I want to tell you something.
Scranton or Dunder Mifflin.
Ephesians 2, for in grace, through faith, are you saved. And this is not out of you. It's not out of you. Nothing came out of you that God looked at and said, because of that, I'm going to save you. For in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is God's approach present. As I love that word. Salvation is God approaching us with a present and winning our favor. And people today present the salvation message as we approach God with a present. We bring God something, but no, we don't. He approaches us with a present to win our favor. It's not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. There will be no bragging whatsoever. Some actually brag and say, I had enough faith to believe. What's your problem? And I used to be taught this when I used to go to Christian churches until I realized I belonged to the body of Christ. I used to be taught that salvation is a wise decision that you made, and if that person didn't make it, he's in trouble. And to translate into language, it's to bring it, to lay the cards on the table face up, they brag and say, I made a wise decision, and you didn't. And that is boasting. Paul says, for in grace through faith are you saved. That's not out of you. It's not out of you. It's not out of you.
But is it out of me? I need to know. You know, there's different ways to boast. Not everybody boasts overtly. There's a very...
You can be a holy boaster.
You can be a holy boaster. I've heard of a holy roller, but never a holy boaster. Thank you for coining that phrase here on the Martin Zunder Dan Sheridan Show. I'm Martin Zunder at martinzunder.com. My partner, Dan Sheridan, can be found at
crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. They both go there.
They both go there?
Yeah.
That's pretty. I only have one. I'm jealous now. What the heck?